I want to welcome all of you to our Friday night podcast here at the City on a Hill Church, Calling the Remnant. Really excited to get into what we're going to be talking about today. And once again, by pastoral demand, we're back. Got everybody back here. The four of us, I got my very pregnant wife right next to me, who's about to pop any day now. That's one thing that we're very excited about. I also got my coincidentally pregnant sister sitting next to me as well. We got life bursting out of this room right now. And my brother, our music minister, Pastor Nat, as well. And we're going to be getting into some stuff regarding families, husbands, and wives, and a lot of really great spiritual stuff that I really hope that you are ready to dive into with us. All right. Where should we get started?
I think the first thing that I hear a lot of women have questions about is, what does it look like for the husband to be leading his family spiritually just every day on a daily basis, not just taking them to church once a week, but like, what does it really look like during the week, every single day?
You know, that's a subject that is one of the most misconstrued things among Christian families. I don't want to say it's a touchy subject. It can be to some people, because, you know, when you see a husband try to lead their family in a Christian way, I'm going to go and actually start taking it to the Bible right now, actually, because there's one of the best things that you can look into in the Bible to talk about, you know, the way a marriage is supposed to work, the way a husband is supposed to lead, the way a wife is supposed to react to that kind of leadership, is found in Ephesians chapter 5. I've got it right here in front of me. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to get started on some subjects that are covered in Ephesians 5. The first one is in Ephesians 5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." In a nutshell, husbands should love their wives as Jesus loved the church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of directions that we could take that in, but it's not so much as, it's more putting emphasis on the leading with love than just leading in general. Because when you hear the word lead, and you know, you hear head of household, you know, that's a really easy way for a husband to potentially try to put himself on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Oh, yes. Every husband feels like they're, you know, whether they're in the right or in the wrong, they feel like they have to lead. But sometimes it kind of takes the form of almost like a dictatorship if they're not careful.
Yeah. It's leading. And when the Bible talks about in Ephesians 5, you know, wives submitting to their husbands, but it says these things after it goes into what a husband should be doing spiritually for his family. It becomes really easy for a wife to submit to her husband when she knows that he is seeking the Lord on his own, and he's going to the Lord on behalf of their family, and he's speaking of, you know, godly things every single day, not only to his wife as encouragement, but also to his children. Because I know a lot of people, maybe the mother is with the children more, and mothers certainly, you know, we covered this in our women podcast that we did. Mothers certainly have such a huge responsibility in what their children learn, but fathers also have that responsibility too. And when you know, if you're not making sure that you are showing your children that you care just as much as your wife about the things of the Lord, then there's going to be a disconnect in your family, and it's going to cause strife between a husband and a wife, and your children are going to pick up on that, you know?
Yeah, one of the last times that we were here, we talked a lot about unity in family. This absolutely is a part of it. Like, if you're just leading your family for the sake of being the leader, you're not exhibiting unity. You're trying to turn it into an unstable hierarchy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like a family doesn't have kind of the structure of a hierarchy, but it's more of a spiritually sound hierarchy. I already mentioned it with love, and as Paris started to mention, leading by example in the right spiritual directions. If you want to please God as a Christian family, then you need to be exhibiting exactly what your family should be doing, not just telling them what to do, showing them what to do right. in the right spiritual areas, mm-hmm. reading the Bible, praying, taking your family to church, and doesn't just stop there when you take your family to church, and it's an everyday thing. It's an every moment thing, really. Leading a family is a full-time job, and it's one of the greatest full-time jobs and greatest responsibilities that you can have. If you're the husband of a family and you're tasked with the responsibility that the Bible puts right here in front of us, that is one of the greatest things that you can do, which means we need to be taking it seriously, and we need to make sure that every day we're asking ourselves and we're taking it to the Lord, Lord, show me what I need to be doing to lead my family. Show me what areas need improvement. Show me what areas need my attention so that my family is doing things that please you all the time.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the husband's job also to make sure that their family is at church every Sunday too.
Yes.
If the husband stays home one day, but the rest of the family goes to church, what are your kids going to think? Mm-hmm. They're going to think, well, I'm too tired, so I can stay home from church this day since Dad did that one time. Mm-hmm. Because they look at their father with such... he's such an example to them, mm-hmm.
yes.
even when he's not trying to be. You know, your kids are always looking up to you.
Yes.
You may not realize it, but they're always looking at what you're doing, and they're learning from what you're doing. Even if you're not trying to lead them by example at that very moment, they're seeing what you're doing, and they're going to pick up on it, and they're going to try to use that and say, well, if so-and-so can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, what kind of attitude are you fostering by staying home from church while, you know, the wife is dragging all the kids to church? You know, some of those kids, especially if they're older, they might be thinking to themselves, you know, well, maybe one day I can stay home from church too. Maybe mm-hmm. I won't have to be dragged to church. I could stay home like Dad. Mm-hmm. You know,
how are they
going
to know you're the man of the house if the mom is the one that is taking you to church? They're going to start looking at the mom as more of a spiritual leader than the father, and the father should be the spiritual leader of your household.
Mm-hmm. Those moments where if you're the husband, where you let your guard down and you start to not pay attention to what actions you're exhibiting, what morals you're exhibiting, even the things that you're not necessarily saying, even the things that you're not necessarily going on, those moments where you let your guard down, those are the moments that can really make the biggest difference mm-hmm. in what direction you're taking your family. Like what you're not really trying to do is an exhibition of character. That's the way that I see it. It's an exhibition of character, and the way that your kids view your character really can shape their character as well. And that can shape the entire spirituality of the family. And who knows what kind of disunity and disconnection that can bring? Who knows how quickly that can cause your family to separate itself, and what kind of destruction it can cause, and what kind of torments and open doors the devil will find right. at those little things. Mm-hmm. You always have to have your guard up as the head of your household. You always mm-hmm. have to look for those areas where the devil can try to squeeze his way in and nip them in the bud. Mm-hmm. Don't push them off. Don't say, this is something that I can take care of a little bit later. Don't say, this is something that maybe it's a little problem right now, but as long as it doesn't become a big problem, it's perfectly fine. Any little problem can become a big problem in an instant.
And we don't want problems.
Exactly.
We don't want, even if they're little, we don't want any problems.
Be sober, be vigilant.
Mm-hmm. And I think...
don't settle for being okay.
Another thing, a great thing to talk about would be a spirit of pride. Because I feel like for men, sometimes that's a hard thing to get over, because in our culture, especially, you know, it's really, you know, taught. It's really taught to young men and boys that, you know, they can never mess up in front of people and they can never be wrong. And I think it's so important to show your kids, because you're going to be wrong sometimes. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mm-hmm. a mistake. You're mm-hmm. going to say something you shouldn't have or done something you shouldn't have. And I think it's so important to be able to, in front of your family, say, you know, this was not a right thing to do mm-hmm. for the Lord. Like, this was not acting.
Humility.
Yeah. And showing them, because that teaches them what to do when they are wrong.
Yeah.
Exactly. That shows
how you respond.
Number one, that shows responsibility. And number two, that puts God on the pedestal that he's supposed to be, showing your children, hey, I may be your leader, but I do mess up every now and then. God is always going to be there to correct me.
And that you submit to God. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's the base of all this, is the husband has to be submitted to the Lord.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and for his family to follow the Lord.
And even like going back into what Dad's been saying in church lately, when the devil is trying to torment you and something happens, like what he was saying, like you stub your toe as soon as we start praying about healing and things like that, how do you respond to that? And the response that you give, you know, is it pleasing to the Lord? Mm-hmm. Are you letting it get to you? And then how are you showing the way you're feeling about it?
Right.
You, as the leader of your house, should always be trying to impress the will of God on your family. Mm-hmm. You should always be trying to explain to them that God's will is what's most important, mm-hmm. regardless of what direction it goes, regardless of how long we're meant to be here, even going to the very end of eternity, the end of destiny, the very last little bit. We need to be expressing to our kids what God wants. The direction that he wants us moving in, to make sure that we are fully a part of his plan for eternity, that's the direction that we're moving in, no matter what. When you're talking about it, that's what your kids are going to pick up on. They're going, when they think about you, even when they're not around you, and the subject of your parents come up, it is an amazing thing to think about your kids thinking about you as always talking about spiritual, always talking about God, always talking about God's plan. You know, even when they're having a mid-conversation with their friends, you know, you never know when the opportunity for your kids to bring up mm-hmm. how spiritually sound you are, how much you talk about God, how much you talk about his plan. You never know what kind of witness that'll be to other kids and their families.
Mm-hmm. And knowing, for your kids to know when they are around other people, for them to immediately recognize when something isn't right, when something mm-hmm. isn't spiritually correct and it's not what they've been taught, and to even know when to get out of those situations, because it's the older they get, the more they remember and the more they will be able to recognize mm-hmm. these situations. I know our kids already do that. We've talked about it before with lots of things, with what they watch, and you know, they're already on their own coming to us and, oh, yes, this thing's bad on TV, we can't watch it. We were walking through a store the other day, and they already, you know,
already got the Halloween stuff
only
out
in August, but they already have all that stuff out. And our daughters were like, oh, we can't look at that. That's scary stuff. And, you know, she's only 4 years old, but she knows.
Not because they were scared of it, because they know
that's not pleasing to the Lord, you know, these things. And that's another a great thing that we can talk about, is marriage does not get rid of all of the previous Christian biblical principles you've learned, mm-hmm. like how you talk to one another, lifting each other up in the Lord. And I feel like mm-hmm. some people forget that once they get married, they get comfortable with each other, and it's easy to yell or put each other down when you're mad. But these are basic things that we learn. You know, this is the baby food, the milk that they talked about, you know, that's a couple right. podcasts ago. But
marriage is the easiest way, the most direct way, other than getting it from church every week, to pass it on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. You have a direct, you know, avenue to pass it on to the next generation of people who are being brought up in Christ, you know, mm-hmm. And who else? I mean, they have to have the milk too. Yeah. So you have to, like I said, that's mm-hmm. the most direct avenue to give it to the next generation, raising your children and showing them those things.
It's mm-hmm. an avenue, and it's a responsibility as well.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important, the things that you say in front of your kids, mm-hmm. being cautious about it, because if you're arguing in front of, because you'll have disagreements.
Yes.
If you're arguing in front of your kids, you know, that's not really teaching them the right thing. Like that's a conversation that you should be having privately, not in front of your children.
Mm-hmm. You never know if it'll turn into, I mentioned your kids having conversations with their friends. You don't want them to be talking about you guys and say, my parents are always fighting.
Yeah.
Right.
It takes vigilance. It takes mm-hmm. vigilance to be able to instill that kind of stuff into your kids.
And you should never be putting your husband or your wife down.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so much ever. Don't have like disagreements never, or arguments.
Even as a joke.
Even when they mess up, because you're going to mess up and things are going to happen, but you should never, ever make that comment. Mm-hmm. You know,
even
your
as
words,
a joke, yeah.
they're just, it's so powerful. And it's something, even after apologies have been made, it can still be a root of bitterness that springs up between a husband and a wife that can be so hard to let go of because your words matter.
Those things stick with everybody in the family.
I feel like that's such a common thing, too, especially among women talking. I hear it all the time where they'll ridicule their husband as a joke. Mm. And they'll say something like, oh, well, you know, that's just him. He's, like, really bad at this. And just because they think that it's funny and everyone will laugh at it because it's so commonplace in the world nowadays.
And I think it stems from the wife having these resentments towards her husband because he isn't leading her spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Could be, yeah.
You know, and it's hard.
Absolutely.
It really is hard for a wife sometimes not to think those things if she doesn't see her husband putting the effort into wanting to lead their family.
Right.
You know, I think it's a lot easier to submit yourself as a wife when your husband is giving you every reason to submit to him.
People are so confused all the time because they'll say, well, we should do this. Oh, you deserve some girl time. But we always say, well, I need to talk to my husband first.
Yeah.
Because we don't make decisions like that, especially if it's something like where I'm going off to do something.
Yeah.
We don't just make decisions without going through Benji.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the man of the house. And then I think it's so important for people to see that there is someone that I go to. Mm-hmm. It's not just I make a decision for myself because I feel like I deserve it.
Right.
You know, and I think what you were saying is that, you know, people, a lot of times it's just, if the man of the house is not recognized as the man of the house, I guess you could say, then it's so easy to get into those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That viewpoint, when you're doing as a wife, what you say that you're doing, things along those lines, that makes our marriage, it makes it look healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the very root of it, it makes it look healthy. And you know, when we're trying so hard to exhibit that way to our family, we're also trying to do that to other families. That's why we're having this podcast, for example. We're trying to show that a really healthy marriage can exist if God is involved.
Mm-hmm.
If the principles that are in the Bible that God laid out for us are involved. And it takes both sides to be able to do that correctly.
Right.
Like, you never know when something going wrong on one side, like she mentioned, the wife throwing her husband under the bus could be caused by the husband not fulfilling their responsibilities. Could also go the other way as well.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go ahead and jump into another subject. What's another subject that we have for this topic?
I think something else we could talk about is what are some things specifically for the man that you do daily for yourselves? Not even necessarily pertaining to like your wife, but what do you do daily to make sure that you are actually seeking the Lord? Like, what is these daily things that you are thinking about on your own that you're putting into your mind, that you're putting in front of yourselves to make sure that you are seeking a relationship with the Lord, that you're submitting yourself to the Lord?
Let's start with one that's very simple but very powerful. Praying.
Mm-hmm.
Praying from the very top of the family, the head of the household. If you're praying, not just on your own, pray around your family, bring your family in to pray with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Create an atmosphere of always praying and always wanting to pray.
And on your own.
Exactly, and
on
your own.
Letting your kids see you pray.
All of it. Right. And sometimes the head of the household may need to say, give me a moment, kids. I need to go upstairs and go pray to God for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My dad did that all the time. I've done that to my family. I've done that in the middle of the night while my family's asleep a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
That area is so important for a family structure. It's so important for a family to remain in unity because prayer is one of the things that really does bring unity. It's not really easy to explain how it does so. It's just one of those spiritual, I guess, mysteries. Maybe there's an explanation that we can come up with at some point in the future. It's one of those spiritual things that just that God structures so that it happens, so that a family is always unified and always has more peace and more structure when prayer is always involved. You can say to your kids, whenever you need something, just go take it to God. Or we can take it to God together. That's why we have our prayer rug. That's why we have our family prayer time. Like, we have our family prayer time every night together. I know you guys do as well. That's one of the biggest things that every head of household specifically should be thinking about, to stem down to his family. Always have prayer on the mind.
Well, some more good guidelines come from the verses that are right before in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, it talks about wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives. In the verses right before that, it gives some great guidelines for husbands leading their families. It says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Do not be unwise. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And just some good ways to lead your family. I know this is probably talking more in the context of the church and believers together, but this is a great way to lead your family as well. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. You know, I think the husband, just as much as the wife, has a hand in creating that atmosphere of gratefulness, thankfulness to the Lord for all of the blessings. Like I said, being sober and vigilant, you know.
And just as much as, you know, a wife prays for her children and prays for her husband, when the husband prays for his wife and family, he's creating that hedge of protection around his family, you know. And the Bible says all the time, I mean, that's how we communicate with the Lord. You know, it from the beginning in Genesis, it says, you know, Adam, they walked and talked with the Lord. You know, that's how we create that strong relationship with God. And then that's how we create that in our family, is by talking with one another about these things. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, I think a lot of people remember it with the church. Oh, we need a fellowship with the church. But we have to remember that with our family. We have to talk about these things in our homes. And if it's not, you know, stemming from the husband and the head of the house, then there's just going to be this, you know, divided spirit in your house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to remember that all of these principles we learn before marriage needs to follow us into marriage and needs to be strengthened as we have a family. And, you know, there, I know there's some young women and men that may watch that I don't have a family yet, but all of these things you can be praying before. And it's actually better to make sure that you're praying these things before and preparing yourself, because there's nothing like going into a marriage knowing these principles and knowing how to handle these situations when they come up. Because when God is at your center, then it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter, you know, you get in a fight, you get into a disagreement, it can always be brought back to the Lord, you know, and that's the only thing that can help you to move on from things and help you to strengthen. And I think for wives too, you know, the more you go through things, I think about the beginning of our marriage, if we ever disagreed about something, you know, it took a lot longer for us to get over it, you know. Yes. And now here we are over 5 years into our marriage, and it's literally 2 seconds, because we realize how important it is to make sure that you're just, you know, you bring it back to the Lord, and you're like, this thing doesn't matter, and it doesn't, you know, it shouldn't affect your life the way that maybe it used to in the past. And that you can, especially, and it's only easy to do that if you're both submitted to the Lord, if you are submitted to your husband, and if your husband is submitted to the Lord and leading you the right way, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like prayer is not just to make you feel better, too. Right. It's if you're living a life where you are constantly praying, then your prayers, I mean, they're powerful. They can actually do things, you know. It's not just, oh Lord, help me through this, and just, I mean, just to pray.
Daniel, I mean, yeah. They're everyone in the Bible, they changed their circumstances, you know. They changed. Abraham was talking to him, and he was like, please spare my family, you know. And it takes that, you know, we can we can persuade the Lord with the with if we are diligent in our prayer.
It's also a weapon against the enemy.
It is. Absolutely.
There's been times that Dad has prayed away the weather and the snow or something, and we pray away
at the house of the Lord.
Our area, and then everywhere else would have this terrible weather.
Right.
Because it's not just because he said that one prayer, though. It's because he's constantly praying and living a life where he is continually praying.
Right.
You know, one of the verses in Ephesians 5 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." We already mentioned that. "As also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior for the body." Now, you could take that at face value, of course. You could take that for what it immediately says, you know, comparing the husband being the head of the wife as Christ being the head of the church. But one of the things that I like to take that to is remembering that everything physical between the relationship of the husband and the wife and the family that they put together, also, one of the things that also needs to always be going through the husband's mind, as you mentioned, needs to be the spiritual aspects of what everything that happens. Because when you go back to Christ being the head of the church, that's all because of the spiritual. Mm-hmm. That's the way that God wants us as the head of the household to run our families. Always bring everything back to the spiritual and think about what spiritual positive effects that a decision can make, what spiritual repercussions a decision can make. Always be considering these spiritual aspects, including every little word that you say, whether it be to your kids, whether it be to you, your wife. You never know what spiritual issue that could cause. You never know what door that could open for the devil. I already mentioned that earlier. I don't want to sound repetitive, but it all does. Everything that goes on in the family can point back to the spiritual, and that's all that the devil is looking for, to disrupt a marriage in some way. And I mentioned in another podcast that the devil is not afraid to play the long game in those areas. He will take one little brick away here in a little area that you give with a word that you say that may have not been the best to your wife. He'll take another brick away from a physical action that you let your kids watch you do that you shouldn't have done, whether it be something little like putting a coin in a slot machine, first little step towards gambling, smoking one cigarette, popping a pill. Little things like that could take another brick away, another brick away. Another argument is another brick. Mm-hmm. Another storm out is another brick. Another explosion of some sort is another brick, until eventually things start completely crumbling down. That's all because the physical affects the spiritual in any kind of relationship between a man and a woman, any kind of family. A head of a household should always have that on his mind, to say things that bring positive spiritual effects. Bring life. That's why prayer is so important. That's why, you know, hymns are so important. I love walking around my house singing church songs all the time. Faith will tell you, and she loves to do the same thing too. We taught Sam a lot of songs at a very young age that she's singing them. Sometimes she's supposed to be sleeping and she's singing church songs and stuff like that. But as long as we know that God is at the forefront of what we're doing, then we know that we are positively moving spiritually in the right direction with what we're doing physically.
And it's very important to recognize when there are spiritual things happening in your family, even if it's something small. There'll be times where you'll look at me and you'll say, "I just feel like there's a negative spirit in the room." Mm-hmm. Like you and Sam, and it just feels like there's some negativity. And we'll try, you know, we'll sit there and we'll pray about it, and we'll try to get to the root of it, because that can build and that can lead to more things. Like, you know, they always say, don't ever go to bed angry. Yeah. So if you don't address it, then it could build overnight and it could get worse, and then it could lead to further problems.
And I think that's a good example of what it means to submit to your husband, is when, because it's hard sometimes when you aren't in a good mindset and you're letting this negative stuff get in the way of things. But when your husband comes to you and says, you know, "Hey, you need to reevaluate, you need to stop, and you need to fix this. You know, we don't need to let this go any further."
Yeah.
Not to come back at him with, "Well, this happened, and I'm just not happy right now, and this happened." You need to, okay, you're right. you're absolutely right, and I need to stop and slow down, and we need to pray about this together. And because that's a way that you can easily start implementing that submission in your house.
And that's why it's so important for the man of the house to be praying and reading his Bible, so that way he knows what to say in those moments. There was a moment the other night where, you know, I'm 39 weeks pregnant and I was having a mental breakdown. I was just crying over something really silly. It was just the most ridiculous thing. But Benji knew exactly what to say to me. He was able to pull it back into the lesson we had just had at church and say, this could fall into that category. Like you need to be careful as to why you are letting something get to you that small.
Yeah.
And he was because he paid attention and because he was taking notes and he was reading his Bible and had already studied this himself, and because he's constantly praying for his family, he was able to tell me exactly what I needed to hear in that moment to draw me back in and calm me down.
Yeah, correcting your wife should always be on the basis of, this is going to be good for our family. This is going to be, this is the right thing to do. Not because you're just in charge and what you say goes all the time. And, you know, that's when it comes to this, like Nat was saying, this like almost dictatorship of just, well, this one verse in the Bible says this, and so no matter what I do, you have to listen to every word. You know,
that's not glorifying
God. The Lord put that in there, but look at everything it's saying before, you know, of you, you know.
There's an entire Christian life behind that.
Exactly. That needs to be lived. All of these principles before marriage, you still have to hold on to. It's not just in marriage making your wife, you know, listen, and you have to respect me, and you have to, without you doing, you know, following the Lord the way that you're supposed to, you know. So,
which kind of brings me to another thing that I've been wanting to say for a little while now, is that we've spent almost half an hour talking about how the husband is the, you know, or should be the proper spiritual authority in the family. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that the husband is the, you know, pastor of the family or the, you know, something like that. Right. He doesn't take the place of anointed church leadership in its proper place, you know. All these scriptures about wives submit to your husbands, that doesn't give the husband carte blanche to just say, you know, whatever he says goes, like you said.
That's where unfruitful home churches are born.
A lot of men think that they are their own spiritual leaders, just because you can open the Bible and read it for yourself, and that doesn't mean that you're interpreting it right, and it doesn't mean, you know, like you have to have that anointed leadership and someone who is constantly in communion with the Lord to be able to teach you as a man so that you can implement these things in your family.
Doing that is a roadblock. This is one of the ways I like to put it. It's kind of like a roadblock, and it stalls your family's spiritual growth.
Right.
It makes it so it is impossible for your family to move forward. Maybe you haven't necessarily taken a step backward in that area, but it's just as unfruitful and just as dangerous to be stalled. Because if you're not moving, if you're not, as my dad likes to say, climbing the mountain, if you're not moving forward spiritually, then the devil will still have an easier time catching you with whatever holes he can find, whatever little cracks he can find. The biggest one that came to my mind is you were mentioning how a husband can try to put himself on the pedestal of being like the pastor of the family is pride. Like, even if you're reading the Bible, even if you're, you know, leading your family in spiritual hymns every now and then, that doesn't stop the pride spirit from trying to dictate the way that your family does things.
Oh, yes. How many husbands and fathers have we known just in our own lives that pick up their Bible and, well, the Bible says this, that, and the other, and you have to honor me, and you have to submit to me. Right. But it's, you know, all these places, it always says, in the Lord, or as to the Lord.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you know, walking in the Lord.
It's so important to be at an anointed church, an anointed place where the presence of the Lord is there, and it's not just people getting together to talk about life lessons, you know? Because I'm reminded of the story, I can't remember who it was, in this book, actually, The Happiest People on Earth, where the wife got married. She was, I think, 19. And she knew that the anointing was at her church that she was at. And the one that her husband went to
was my great-grandmother. Actually.
Yes, your great-grandmother. And the one that her husband went to, she said it was a great church, but she knew that the anointing was not there and that the anointing was at her church. But she submitted to her husband and went to church with him, but she was constantly praying about the situation. And then one day he just up and said, we're going to her church.
Yeah.
And then they were there from there on out because they realized that's where the anointing was.
And that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that God, the miracles that God was able to do that allow us to be here doing what we're doing. A husband needs to recognize that it's his responsibility to seek out that anointing. Mm-hmm. It's his responsibility. The wife should always be praying for that as well. As she mentioned, like if the wife wants to seek that out as well, always be praying that the husband will find it, that the husband will begin seeking it. It's a husband's responsibility to seek out that anointing because it's a husband's responsibility to recognize the part that his family needs to be playing in God's overarching plan.
It's the husband's job to speak up and find it, not the wife's. And, you know, the wife, it's her job to pray about it and pray for her husband.
Yeah, and speak encouraging words to your husband.
Yes.
You know, you speak those things and show, you know, that you are willing and you want to follow his lead. And I think another thing that men sometimes forget because of our culture is that the Lord puts these anointed people so that you don't have to have that burden on yourself.
Yes.
You know, the Lord says my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he wants, you know, I know Nat, he says it all the time, how grateful he is to have that spiritual leadership in his life so that obviously he still has all these responsibilities as the head of the house, but being able to go and have someone who, you know, is under God all the time.
So much easier to reconcile everything that you do as the husband and leader when you're submitted to a higher leadership.
Right. It's not about you knowing everything. It's about not having to have that burden in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, that should be an encouragement for men.
Bring peace. Not, it brings peace.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't have to be this thing
and
about
your
pride. If
you are submitted to true anointed church leadership, it makes it that much easier to stand before your family and your wife and in those tough situations where there is a disagreement or there is this, that, and the other and say, no, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a good godly wife, it's so much easier to submit to that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, a husband, and this is not the same thing as taking thought for tomorrow. I just want to preface that. The husband's job, I already mentioned thinking about the part that the family plays in God's overarching plan. It's not the same thing as taking thought for tomorrow. It's a husband actively taking responsibility for their family and always wanting to make sure that they're on the right side of things spiritually. Always, maybe that means thinking for a moment about what direction God could be taking the family. God could be taking the family in. Always be saying to yourself, whatever direction God is taking, I need to be vigilant in making sure that I'm not just looking out for myself. I'm looking out for my family. Whatever God wants to do, and also whatever the devil wants to do, I need to be looking out for that as well. Right. That's not worrying. That's not taking thought for tomorrow. That's exercising the vigilance that the Bible is telling the husbands and the head of the households to do for their family.
Right.
And that includes making sure that you're seeking out the anointed prophetic ministry like we have going on here. I know it's easy for us to say because we've been under it for such a long time.
But that's why we're going to say it.
Yes.
Because it's easy to say.
Well, we look all throughout the Bible and there's not a single time in the Bible that there wasn't an anointed prophetic, you know, leader that was over the people, you know, that they could go to and have that, you know, burden lifted from them that they could have. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be just roses all the time. That's why they're there, so that you can go when you have these problems. You can have someone who hears from the Lord and who the Lord hears them.
When,
you know,
there's
when the nothing,
clear prophetic leadership is there, you listen to it,
like it
and submit mm-hmm. to it, and the blessings will follow.
And that right. should be encouraging, that
all
God,
throughout the Bible.
God will always have anointed prophetic ministry going on at somewhere. They will always be there. And we know for a fact, because we've seen the miracles, we've seen the testimonies, we've heard the testimonies, there is an anointed prophetic ministry going on here.
Yes.
And that's one of the things, you know, we're talking about, you know, having a sound, healthy spiritual relationship. But we also want to throw in there that if you want to help grow that,
you've got to be planted. Your
yes,
roots
you've
have
got
to be,
to be planted. Your roots have got to be planted. And this ministry is here to help you do that. This ministry is here to guide you in that direction. It's not because any human's telling you what to do. It's not because any human is creating some sort of decree on how something is supposed to be done, because we're following the precepts that God laid out for us. We're making sure that everything that we say, everything that we try to lead people in, stems from the Word of God itself, so that we're not the ones getting the glory. God is getting the glory, and that right. and a family should be run the exact same way. Mm-hmm. God always gets the glory. God is always the center of everything. That brings unity, that brings peace,
right.
and always be reading the Bible, always be praying, always be instilling the goodness of God into your family, whether it be through singing hymns, whether it be through quoting scripture. Just do whatever it takes to make sure that the Lord is honored in your relationship. The wives have that responsibility. Husbands have that responsibility. And one of the things that Dad likes to mention is God always raises up a remnant, no matter what's going on in the world. You know, the world always goes through different phases of norms. They go through different phases of, whether it be phases and trends, I think that was the word I'm looking for, trends like women empowerment mm-hmm. or anything like that. I don't want to go into specifics because I know we're just about out of time. We need to start wrapping things up. But God, there will always be, God is always going to raise up a remnant to make sure that His will is done right. every single time. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that I get the opportunity to be a part of it. I'm so grateful that God gave me a wife that I can learn to have that kind of relationship and have that kind of family. God's still teaching me. I'm not going to say I'm perfect in the way that I run my family. I'm not going to say that any of us are perfect in the way that we run our families. God is still teaching us. But that's what this anointed prophetic ministry is for, mm-hmm. so that we can continue to learn and we continue to help other families learn in their situations. So I really do pray that you were ministered to by what we're talking about, what we've been talking about. I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to get together once again and do this. I'm sure that my dad's going to come together and say there's a lot more that we can talk about. And when that time comes, we'll definitely come together and put another one of these out there. But for now, I think we're just about ready to wrap things up. Anything else anybody wants to say before I close? I want you to remember everything that we have here going on at the church. We have our Sunday morning 11 a.m. services, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We got those in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville. Also available on our online social platforms that include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which we have daily functions going on. We have Remnant 101 with me coming every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on our online platforms, devotions Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, all at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. Call in the Remnant podcast comes out every week on Friday at 8 p.m. Those podcasts are also available on Spotify and wherever podcasts are available, Apple Podcasts, whatever you can think of. Even Siri and Alexa can play these podcasts for you. And I do want to encourage you, once again, please come visit us here. Come get a taste of what it's like to be a part of the remnant, to be a part of the anointing, and understand the things that we're talking about. All right, so glad that you were able to join us today, and we hope to see you very soon in person, if at all possible. Please come join us. God bless you. We'll see you next time.